This is a special update from PeterBCollins.com. I've learned in the last few hours that our friend and the intrepid investigative blogger from Alabama, Roger Shuler, was arrested by Shelby County authorities last evening. That would have been Wednesday, October 23rd, 2013. And in a moment, you'll hear the account from his wife, Carol, about the arrest and an altercation that was part of the arrest. Roger Shuler is described as injured by the officers who came to his house and confronted him in his garage. We believe an arrest warrant was produced, but we don't have actual confirmation of that at this point. Now, for background, we have been covering this in some detail. Roger Shuler has courageously reported on the extramarital sexual affairs of two leading Republicans in Alabama and a third person who is a sitting federal judge. Has been exposed as having been involved in gay porn in the past. And all of these are elements of hypocrisy because these people are all stalwart Republican family values types, and their private lives don't measure up to their public standards, at least as they explain them to the citizens of Alabama. And this is a serious First Amendment case where Roger Shuler has been jailed without any due process. They called a judge out of retirement who has presided over a one-sided set of proceedings with Rob Riley and his attorneys. Riley is the son of the former governor, Bob Riley, and is allegedly considering running for an open congressional seat in Alabama, and finds Roger Shuler's reporting on his private life to be highly inconvenient. So that is the background, and if you need more, go to Roger Shuler's website, his blog, at legalschnauzer.blogspot.com, because he has detailed these issues and the developments to a great extent. And if you are just learning about this for the first time, please avail yourself of the information at the blog. A few minutes ago, I spoke with Mrs. Schnauzer, Carol Shuler.
Roger had gone to use the library yesterday, and I was at home, and I woke from a nap kind of late and noticed that it was like 11:30, and he should have been home by then, and then he wasn't around, and I went to see if he was maybe napping somewhere. He wasn't. I went to the garage area and saw the car. I mean, my initial thought was maybe, oh, my God, he'd been in a car accident since it was so late, and but the car was there, and then I thought, oh, my God, why is the car here? He's not here, and I noticed all kinds of things askew in the garage, things knocked over, and like apparently a scuffle, and I thought, oh, somebody's grabbed him and kidnapped him. I didn't even think about it in terms of arrest at that point. It was only later when I was talking with a friend who checked online for me and told me that, yes, he does show up being on the website as one of the inmates, and so that's how I knew. I mean, around midnight last night, and but I had talked with Roger since then, and he said yes, it did happen around between six and six thirty last evening, and that he was pulling in after being at the library and getting a bite to eat, and was pulling out of the garage, and he said I think it was at least a couple of cop cars. One almost hit our car, and there was three policemen, and one was just like right in the garage, just like boom, right there. And he said he was pushing him around, and Roger was, you know, trying to get away from him. That's what, hence the scuffle and the stuff skewed. And they're claiming it was resisting arrest, but he kind of beat up Roger pretty good, and Roger said he has wounds all over him, and they even sprayed him in the face with mace. And so I guess they carted him off and, you know, closed the door behind him because the lights weren't on or anything. But that's what, you know, like I said, it was later that I found that out. But it's,
and Carol, did they present a warrant for his arrest?
Now, that I haven't been able to find out. I mean, I'm guessing they probably did some bogus trumped up thing, you know. They seem to do whatever they want to down there in great Shelby County, Alabama, but I'm thinking probably so. I think it was like they're alleging or claiming two counts of contempt of court, and which have, a bond has not been set for that yet, and one was resisting arrest, even though the guy essentially, you know, attacked him in the garage and whatnot. But and that's set for like $1,000 bond now. But so we're still awaiting some sort of a hearing or some kind of a something from the judge.
Now I would expect Roger's reaction to be to challenge the validity of the arrest that was being attempted. And, and I would imagine that he would use words and not any kind of physical action.
Right, exactly. And, I can't remember what he told me that he had had said to him, but whatever, you know, he said about it was, you know, unlawful whatever for them to be in there and, you know, coming in there and inside their garage and this and that. But also, if it's related to this hearing for some sort of injunction of last Thursday, this case, Riley case, we had filed a motion to quash the day before on Wednesday of last week. I guess it was a week. Was it a week ago today? Is today Wednesday?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe today's...
Today's Thursday. Yeah, today's Thursday.
Today's Thursday. Okay, so when he got arrested, it was Wednesday. It was yesterday. And so the week prior to that Wednesday, we filed a motion quash.
Right.
And that was basically, should have kind of like halted things, you know, and sort of made that any sort of so-called hearing the following day. It was basically saying that the service related to that traffic stop, they, you know, and whatnot, the way they served us and various things was improper, unlawful, and should kind of, anyway, subsequent kinds of hearings and things should be kind of at least put on hold, you know, or looked at, you know, and everything. But
and Carol, before all this came down, I had a detailed conversation with Roger. The podcast is available. And, you know, he described that the all of these proceedings have occurred without his or your participation. You're a co-defendant in these these filings. And so the motion to quash, which challenged the validity of the service that they claim occurred during this bogus
traffic stop,
that has to be sorted out first before they could apply. This is my opinion, and I'm not a lawyer, but it seems to me that that has to be disposed of before they could move to arrest or to enforce a contempt citation, because there has been no hearing where your side of the story has been presented. And so the court cannot act unilaterally at the behest of Rob Riley.
That's exactly what they're doing, though. And that's what, you know, we put in that motion, and Roger's written about extensively on the blog, Legal Schnauzer blog, and about spelling out the law, which, you know, they choose to ignore. I mean, they're just doing whatever they want. They wanted it under seal. They wanted it, all, you know, all these different things. They
The whole thing is a kangaroo court proceeding, because they've found this retired judge who is listening only to Rob Riley, and who has made a finding of defamation, you know, on against the Schulers and the Legal Schnauzer blog, but there's no legal basis for that, and as Roger has very
on its face without any chance to hear from us,
right,
without having a proper proceedings.
Yeah, there's been no evidence presented and no arguments have been heard. So for this retired judge to issue a contempt citation without any information presented, about the First Amendment, about the prior restraint issues that are raised here that are deeply troubling and clearly unconstitutional and violate legal precedent, then this is just, it's all being conducted out of bounds. This is not legal.
And that's why we really, you know, decided to take the tack we did by basically, you know, dealing with it, you know, like I said, via the blog, and also with the motion to quash, you know, the service, instead of, you know, because it's just, I hate to say it, but it's a joke. I mean, it's just, that's funny now, I'm in jail. I mean, it's just, it's not lawful. I mean, it's just kangaroo. I mean, they're just, I doubt seriously that there was even a hearing on Thursday at all. Mm-hmm. I can't remember where this judge supposedly is from. It's not from Shelby County, but it was Dothan or where, somewhere. And he had to travel advances, you know. Mm-hmm. And I just doubt seriously he did. I don't think anybody, they just like said they did.
Yeah.
Said they had it. But even if they said they had it, we filed a valid motion, you know, to quash service, and that should have sort of put a halt to it until mm-hmm. that was addressed and looked at. And, but like I said, as Roger, I'm sure pulling it out in his last talk with him, the whole concept of, like I said, I can't quote the law like he can, but, related to defamation, that you can't get a, by law, preliminary injunction or for any kind of injunction in a defamation case like this. I mean, it's just not, it's unlawful. I mean, you can't do it. I mean, because you can like, sure, you can file a lawsuit for defamation, but then it has to go to the channel. So you have to prove it's their burden is on them.
That
we have defamed them, being hurt, and all this, and not just some kind of willy nilly. Here's the preliminary injunction. Oh, here, show up if you don't. You know, that's been the way they've done it.
Well, and libel and defamation, you're correct, require that the plaintiffs establish the damages have occurred and that there was an intent to defame or to spread false information. And
exactly.
And libel, as I understand it, is a kind of more severe cause of action than defamation. Libel requires malice aforethought.
Mm-hmm.
And so these issues have to be proven before there can be a finding of libel or defamation, much less any order to take down the blog posts or prevent future articles from being posted. So all of this is well outside established law, and it must be contested. Now, Carol, tell us Roger's current status. Can he be bailed out on the contempt charges?
Well, we're hoping so. I mean, it was indicated to me last night by the jail supervisor that he was supposed to be have a hearing in front of a judge today to find out what the bond amount would be. And but as it stands, that last time I talked with him earlier today, it hadn't happened, and another jail supervisor claimed that, a trial date hasn't been set. Now, I guess you could, so I'm thinking, that sounds like kind of futuristic, like a trial date somewhere in the future. How long are they going to keep him in there unlawfully, you know, just in there?
Well, I don't know Alabama law, and of course the law is not, it's not consistently applied, particularly in the case of Roger Shuler. But
it doesn't matter. You don't have to know the law. It's just whatever they want to do.
But, Carol, the resisting arrest charge, even if it's completely phony, is bailable in almost every jurisdiction. But contempt charges are typically putting a person in jail until they comply with the court order. So, you know, from this distance, I have to speculate that unless Roger yields to the judge's demands, that he will stay in jail until this can be, you know, turned into a court hearing over the real issues.
Exactly, which is quite scary. I mean, to think, you know, how long might that be? And, you know, what are we supposed to do in the meantime? That's why it's so important for listeners and everybody else that cares about free speech and the First Amendment and you know, freedom of the press to pay attention to this. I mean, because it's, you know, you just hear about some gruesome things happening to journalists that are trying to report the news. I mean, some of them pay with their lives, so, you know, like Michael Hastings or whomever, and fortunately, that hasn't happened in our case yet, but I don't know what they're capable of down there. I would say most anything.
Yeah.
And
so
safety.
Carol, specifically, where is Roger? Is he at the Shelby County lockup?
Correctional. Yeah, I think it's called Shelby County Correctional Facility, something like that. It's in Columbiana, Alabama, in Shelby County. the southern part of the county we live in. We live in Shelby County, and we live in the northern part. It's in the southern part of the county, just south, kind of somewhat south of Birmingham area.
Okay. Now, Carol, you may be familiar with the old Warren Zevon song, "Send Lawyers, Guns, and Money." We're going to pass on the guns here, but I have put out the call to some of our allies to try to rally some legal support for Roger, and the next part is money. And I don't want to, you know, put your personal life on parade, but I know that you guys are not doing well financially right now.
Well, that's correct.
You've both had serious career setbacks, and I know that your savings have dwindled. So I want to put out the appeal here right now. Anyone who can assist, this is a critical time for Roger and Carol Schuler. So go to legalschnauzer.blogspot.com. I'll put up the link in the show file with this podcast. But there is a PayPal donate button right in the upper right-hand corner. And I ask people to be as generous as you can to support this critical First Amendment battle.
Absolutely. And we appreciate every single donation, whatever anybody, you know, large or small, just whatever anybody can afford, because we really need, we needed it for, like, just living expenses. And now we've got this thing where we might have actual legal expenses or possible, you know, to be able to get them, you know, post bail, you know, which is highly alarming. But yes, anything, we appreciate every single one of your listeners.
We will continue to follow this breaking story from the Deep South in Alabama and update you as we learn more. But my speculation is that Roger Schuler may stay in jail for a while, because he's a man who's quite principled and knows that he's standing on solid legal ground, and I think he will continue to defy the illegal and unconstitutional actions of this kangaroo court. It's not even a real court. It's a retired judge who is presiding over this railroading of Roger Schuler into jail. And I want to underscore the appeal that you just heard. If you can provide even $5 or $10 of financial support to the Schulers at this critical time, I would be very grateful to you. So go to legalschnauzer.blogspot.com, and there is a donate button right there on the right-hand side of the homepage. Be as generous as you can, and we will continue to cover these important issues here at peterbcollins.com.
Happy trails to you until we meet again. Happy trails to you. Keep smiling until